You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, do selfish parents raise better kids? I tell you, something's got to be better than what's happening in Parentville these days, right? Why do we love them so much? No, not your kids. I'm talking about Minions. Manny the Movie Guy joins us live. And did the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage open the door for polygamy? Serving friend duties today, it's the host of the podcast, Sweet Life, our producer, Brooke Peterson.
Hey, the Girl Scouts of Washington State were offered $100,000 as long as they obeyed one simple request. They returned the money.
Ooh, I want to know. Hey, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews. And don't forget, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Let's get things rolling. Girl Scouts, since when do they return money?
That's a good question. I don't know that this has ever happened before, especially such a large sum.
There were strings attached?
Oh, one big string. And this string was the donator says, please guarantee that our gift will not be used to support transgender girls. If you can't, please return the money. And they did.
They returned
the money. Yeah.
Wow.
This person apparently, or I'm not sure if it's an organization or a person, it's not specified, says that Girl Scouts are for girls and that transgender are basically boys in skirts. And that was not the stance of the Washington State Girl Scouts.
No? Okay.
Not at all. All inclusive, they say. They say we are inclusive of all girls, ages, shapes, and sizes.
So their opinions couldn't be bought. But that's $100,000.
That's $100,000. So what you going to do, right?
Yeah.
They're thinking, oh, ow.
That's a lot of cookies.
That's a lot of cookies. And so they went to social media and posted a campaign on Indiegogo saying, guess what, folks? This is what's our situation. We returned $100,000 for the good of these girls. Can you help us out, man?
Yeah, right. So there's probably a lot of groundswell of positivity around that idea right now.
I think so, yeah. But you know what? They were able to get that $100,000 in their own way in less than one day.
Wow.
Yes.
So screw the cookies. Let's just do it this way.
Screw the bigots.
Yeah, there you go. My goodness. All right. So the guy that got the money back, do we have a name? Has he surfaced? Is he going to peddle his money elsewhere?
No. Well, you know, it's funny, though, because just reading this article, the Girl Scouts, of course, have their general national motto, but each individual Girl Scout troop can choose their own ways and means of doing things. And so although this group in Washington held firm to their ideals, apparently 2 weeks later, a group in Louisiana, a Girl Scout group in Louisiana, said, we'll
oust take the money?
Transgenders.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. They won't support them, or they won't.
They won't allow them into their group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exclusive.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's think about it. In a very short period of time, we've gone from Boy Scouts only allowing boys and Girl Scouts only allowing girls to various new definitions of those types of things.
Where exactly.
You know, boy was a very strict definition of a boy, a boy that's going to grow up to be a man and marry a woman. And girl was a very strict definition of girl.
Yeah.
She's going to grow up and be some man's wife.
That's right. And they were born a certain way and they stayed a certain way and that's what they were.
And that in a very, if you think about it, very short period of time over the course of history. I mean,
yeah,
really, it's just a hash mark on the timeline. Things have changed dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really exciting, actually. And of course, I think there will be people who are trying to hang on to the old ways and keep things status quo or whatever. But I think with other groups taking their stand and holding firm to them and saying, no, we want to, open our arms to everybody who identifies as male or female, whatever the group is.
Yeah.
I think that's a really positive step in a great direction.
Yeah. You don't think that that's an easy concept for we adults in our the development of our brains at this stage of the game to understand, as opposed to somebody who is, oh, I don't know, between the ages of 7 and 14.
That's right.
To understand.
It's so hard for us older people.
No. I mean, you know, the whole, the way you described it just a moment ago, I mean, you and I understand that perfectly. But is that just a little too much for a 7 to 12-year-old to understand?
I think, if I understand what you're saying correctly, I think when you're younger, your brain is much more pliable and flexible and easy to adapt, and you sort of, you accept things that are presented to you. That's why parenting is so important, because you pass down to your children what you think is acceptable and important. And if you're, you know, harsh on things.
And speaking of parenting, in about a half an hour, we're going to find out just how badly parents suck.
I feel bad for you guys. Yeah. I'm not a parent, but man, it's just a tough job.
Well, I will say, though, I think mostly on my wife's side, we did all right with my three girls. So moving on, other stories. Mm-hmm. Was Ariana Grande raised by wolves? Does she have parents?
Yeah. You know, I don't know about her parenting history or the history of her parents
upbringing.
Thank you.
Yes.
But apparently she's not really fond of Americans.
Yeah.
As it's come out this past weekend. And you probably already know the story about her going up to the local mountains around here and going into some sort of, I don't know, donut shop or something. And just this little prank with her buddies, you know, just licking a donut on that was sitting on the counter.
And A large donut. It was a tray of large donuts.
Yeah. So it's just gross. Maybe teenager goofball stuff. Whatever. I don't know. I never did stuff like that, but I guess a lot of teenagers maybe do. But anyway, so as it all proceeds, another tray of donuts comes out, and she looks at it, and she's like, ah, I hate Americans. I'm not sure the exact quote. I hate Americans, something like Americans are gross. Or something like that.
Yeah, her logic was that here in America, we have the freedom to eat whatever we want, and we eat whatever we want, like these enormous donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And she said there should be more education, if I recall what she said, more education about nutrition and all of that. And I immediately think, honey, you have the freedom to educate yourself on nutrition in this country, as opposed to somebody forcing you to eat one way or another. You know, she mentioned the childhood obesity rate going through the roof.
Well, yeah, she spins it around.
I submit we eat a great deal more healthy today than we did when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, we probably ran a couple miles a day just for the heck of it, because that's how we got to people's houses.
Yep.
And
when we were riding bikes or whatever we were doing, we were in
great shape. We didn't sit at home and watch TV or video games or play games on our phones. So at some point, Ms. Ariana Grande, at some point, we're going to start differentiating in this country between people who deserve our attention and our money and those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you were contrite after the fact and submit that you were misunderstood doesn't mean that you're not a total idiot who deserves a life of mediocrity. And Ms. Ariana, I continue here. Your career really should be over, because anytime you step on a stage in front of people who love America and or donuts, they will throw stuff at you.
Yeah. And, you know, just at least off the get-go, she needs to take the consequences. And she actually is taking some consequences. She was supposed to be a musical act at the Major League Baseball All-Star Concert coming up, and they have booted her. You know, who knows if they booted her. She has pulled out. She's withdrawn, claiming wisdom teeth surgery or something. But who knows if that's actually a repercussion.
Yeah, I don't know. But had she in her upbringing, eaten healthy, perhaps her growth wouldn't have been stunted. Is she 4'1"?
I don't know how tall she is.
She's tiny.
But her quote was actually, here it is, I hate Americans, I hate America. And this was on like July 4th weekend.
Yeah. And what she said, you know, the context was that when she was looking at the size of the donuts, it's like, you know, I hate America.
Right. And she spins it in trying to explain herself.
In a place where the government decides what people eat, I don't know if there is a place like that, but I suspect maybe there are some places like that, then you would never get a chance to eat a donut.
But you got
to
have a donut every night. now and then. You got to live a little.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why people love America.
That's
because they could come here and choose whatever the heck they
want
to eat.
Donut you want.
Yeah.
Have two of them if you want.
What's the matter with you? And then if you don't like the people who tell you what to eat, you can vote them out.
That's right.
In fact, Donald Trump believes he's going to win the Latino vote. Okay, fine. I don't have to do that story. But up next, remember the big fluff over Bill Cosby?
Oh, yeah.
Drugging ladies and take them to bed and have sex with them
all.
Yeah, it did end, but it's back.
It's back. I thought it had finally ended, but you're right.
And you'll find out why it's back and what happened and, ooh, this is juicy. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back, and glad you are too. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Brooke Peterson is here. I'm Phil. Hi. Nice to see you. So, Bill Cosby, apparently he was getting all the chicks.
Yeah, whether they wanted to or not.
And it's weird. You know, I thought that everything we knew or had to know or discovered about what allegedly happened, all came out some months ago. But now there's something new, and it's a little shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this past Monday, a document was released from a 2004 deposition that basically has him admitting to buying Quaaludes in order to have sex with women. Now, it's not clear. Apparently, the lawyer stopped him from saying that, you know, he gave them to the women without their knowledge, so they can't necessarily, you know, claim that. But he is placing himself buying Quaaludes for sex. And now, because of this new recent information, there are people trying to have the U.S. government strip him of his Presidential Medal of Freedom. Disney's going to take down a bust of him at one of their parks. There's all kind, and I think there's there was some one of his sponsors pulled out recently as well.
Well, if they hadn't already. He lost Jell-O away
a long time ago. Yeah.
Right? Or was he still involved with Jell-O at the time? I don't know. Maybe not.
At the time all this happened? Or
yes.
When
no,
it first
like,
broke?
You know, a year ago. I think maybe his Jell-O contract was up already.
It had been a long time since I've seen a Jell-O commercial of any kind, really.
True. Yeah. Because after all, Jell-O is just ground up bones.
Oh, God.
With color added, isn't it? That's what Jell-O is.
Oh, really? No.
Did you not know that?
What do you mean ground up bones?
That's what gelatin is. It's made of, or pectin is made of ground up bones.
Bones from what?
You didn't know that. Humans, what do you think? No, cows. It's ground up bones.
There's lots of bones in the world, Phil.
Yeah, no, well, sure. You could just go around and look for them, right? Dig them up. Oh, here's a bone. Let's make some Jell-O. Well, on that topic of things that you didn't know that you were putting in your face, vegetarian you, you know what? The distinct smell of crayons, Crayola crayons.
Yeah,
you
of
know?
Course.
Yeah.
Childhood. That's childhood in a box.
Doesn't that take you back, right? Immediately. You know
Absolutely.
What that? You know what makes that smell?
What?
Beef fat. That's where it comes from.
Beef fat? What?
Yes.
Why does everything need some sort of beef fat or animal bones? What is going on
It's
here?
Just the constant reminder that we have in life that there is a balance between humans and animals, and we do need each other for these purposes, that we derive nutrition and certain amounts of pleasure from the complete use of an animal who either graciously or without permission gave his or her life so that we can enjoy those things.
How beautifully Native American of you. I love that idea.
Right. Yes. No, I do stop and thank the beast on my plate before I partake.
But really, when you smell a crayon, do you think beef?
No, I don't.
It must be just like a couple drops for some
sort of oil.
Remember
a couple of weeks ago, we had a list of things that vegetarians have no idea have some kind of animal product in them. You remember that? I don't remember what was on the list, but there were all sorts of things
I'm sure.
that we use on a daily basis. You know, that we put on our face, we put in our hands, we put in our mouth, whatever it is.
Well, luckily I'm a terrible vegetarian.
Yeah, right. By the way, speaking of drugging people, a guy in Germany was in court this week because last August he drugged his girlfriend. So apparently he was following the Bill Cosby thing. But no, he drugged his girlfriend. Apparently she would not stop nagging him, and so he drugged her so he could play video games. She wouldn't stop yammering. She said, why aren't you spending time with me? Or why aren't you mowing the lawn?
Wow.
Or why aren't you doing this
instead
of playing video games? And he wanted to just play his video games.
And he couldn't just say, honey, give me an hour by myself with my video game. I'll be with you in a second.
So he put a sedative in her tea, and a judge agreed with him and gave him a $550 fine. Well, the judge didn't necessarily agree with him, but he got a $550 fine.
That's so I'm thinking
girlfriend? The judge did agree with him.
I hope she broke up with him.
What she should do, really, if you really want to humiliate the guy,
yeah,
challenge him to a game.
And then kick his butt.
And beat him at the video game. That's how you do
online, it. Online, where everybody's watching.
We didn't talk about Jared, the Subway guy, on Tuesday. We completely glossed over. We missed it. Jared, for whatever reason, somebody tipped off the feds. They went over to his house, and I'm paraphrasing here. I may have the facts wrong, but they went to his house, raided his house, took his computers, and found child porn on his computers. And about 30 seconds later, Subway dropped Jared as their spokesman. And about an hour later, he gained 40 pounds. related to that, really indirectly, I mean, you have to squint to see the relation here. A 52-year-old guy in Florida was busted for having child porn on his computer last week. But he, in explaining it to cops, he told them, it's okay, because, quote, it was only kids I didn't know.
People
he was arrested and hit with 20 different child pornography charges. I don't know. Something tells me that in your brain, something just isn't right if you're attracted sexually to children. And so
he's completely missing the point here.
So that quote perhaps amplifies the idea that something just ain't right.
Is definitely very, very, very wrong.
Yeah. All right.
And he doesn't even get it.
Do we make it any sense?
How does he not get it? Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You know what? You remember that the book Watership Down?
I do.
I mean, it's about rabbits just terrorizing and ripping other rabbits to shreds. Is it?
Well,
it's
the whole rabbit world. It's like an odyssey.
It's a dangerous, scary place.
Much more so than we ever knew.
Yeah.
And today I saw this fantastic video, and we have it on the show fun page. If we don't, we will soon. Of a mother rabbit stepping in, courageously defending her last surviving little bunny.
Yes.
And she takes on a black rat snake. And this snake, it was like 10, 15 feet, no, 12 feet or something like that. It's a long snake.
A 12-foot snake against a rabbit?
A cottontail rabbit. You can't get more Watership Down than this rabbit looks.
It's a cute little bunny.
It's a cute bunny. And so the video opens with the snake in the nest. And alas, two of the bunnies have already passed on. But the third bunny is squealing, and the mom jumps on top of the snake, starts wrestling the snake, does the little thing where she rolls over and does her little back paws, how cats do, where they just scratch, scratch, scratch. That's vicious stuff when the cats do that.
Oh, yeah.
So the bunny's trying to do that. And not only that, but the snake is like, whoa, I'm out of here, and is trying to get away, and the rabbit continues to chase him
through
the yard.
You mess with my family. You kill
That's
one
right.
of my...
You don't just get to walk away.
What are baby rabbits
away.
Called?
Pardon?
What are baby rabbits called?
Bunnies.
Bunnies?
Mm-hmm.
They're not called something else, like kits or something like that? Isn't there a name for baby rabbits?
I'm sure there is. I like bunny, though. You don't like bunny?
My wife's going to chime in. One of these days, I'm going to have Remy on
you
the program.
You should have Remy on.
Because she's already corrected me once. I should mention that it's not pectin that's made out of bones. It's gelatin. Pectin's made out of fruit. Gelatin is made from boiling bones. It's a byproduct of bones.
Jeez. Thank you, Remy.
Yeah. And so she'll come up with the name for baby rabbits. Isn't it Kits? Isn't that what it is?
Okay, give me 2 seconds.
You're going to look it up?
I'll look it up.
During the show, you're going to look it up.
I can keep talking and clicking at the same time. But the point is that this mama bunny, this mama rabbit, since the bunny would be the baby, she goes for it, man. She gives that snake, you know, what for. And that snake is on the run.
Don't mess with mama
cottontail.
Don't
mess with mama, even if it's just a sweet-looking little rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay. Good. Well, that video, I'm told, is in the hands of the Web Munchkins, and they'll have it on the show fun page momentarily so that you can watch it. You can watch the rabbit versus the snake. Now, does the video take it all the way to the end when the snake is disemboweled and the guts are everywhere and there's baby rabbits half-digested out there in the pasture? Not the pasture. Where do rabbits and snakes go? They're in the forest. No, in the...
There's a little rabbit nest.
The meadow.
And by the way, a young rabbit is indeed a kitten or a kit.
Right. How about that? Once in a while, I nail it.
Every now and then. Every now and then you get one.
You have another animal story, but this is more about being as manly as you can be.
Well, it's almost in that whole sense of like, it's a man, so you can't call him a mother, and yet it's still that mother instinct. This man was out camping with some buddies this past weekend, and all of a sudden... He notices that a cougar has drug off his one-year-old little dachshund doggy. And so he basically chases down this cougar, eventually gets to a point where he grabs its skin, punches it in the face, completely stuns the cougar, saves his dog, and they both survive. Unfortunately, the man comes back later, fearing for the safety of, you know, him, his friends, his dog, other kids around the campground. The cougar is still in the same spot, hasn't moved.
Wow.
And
I think it's sick. Something's wrong with
something
that.
Something seems wrong with the cougar.
Because you can't punch a cougar and it not stop
retaliate
your hand before
all.
You get to its face.
It just sat
and
there.
Take your arm off with one fingernail.
Yeah, I think this guy got really lucky is what it comes down to, as did the dog.
Could the biggest movie of the year be opening this weekend at the Cineplex? Mandy the Movie Guy joins us next to tell you right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. And think about this when you're sitting through your 12th movie preview and everybody in the theater is talking, making loud chewing noises, texting, and shining laser pointers at the screen. If that wonderful experience did not exist, our next guest would be on the streets begging for spare change. So keep going to the movies again and again and again, because KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy needs you, and he's here now.
Who's to say that I'm not on the streets begging for change? Because I do.
I'd give you my spare change any day of the week, man.
Well, thank you.
So the Minions are going to take over the box office this weekend, and I think for the year. What do you say?
That's right. Minions dominate theaters near you. The scene stealers from the Despicable Me franchise are back.
Yeah.
And it's an origin movie. Most prequels are hit or miss, but I'm happy to report that Minions got it right. We learn that the Minions, who exist to serve Despicable Masters, have been around since the prehistoric age. They served T-Rex, Napoleon, even Dracula, but they accidentally destroyed them all. So they decide to move to the Arctic. But now they're sad because they don't have a master. So in 1968, 42 years BG, that's before Gru, in reference to Steve Carell's character.
Yes, right.
Our minions, namely Kevin, Stuart, and Bob, travel to Orlando, Florida to attend the Villain Con, the world's biggest villain convention. And there, of course, they met the talented cast headed by Sandra Bullock, playing against type as Scarlett Overkill. She's the queen of the big bads, and all she wants is the crown jewel. Allison Janney and Michael Keaton also joined the cast as Orlando-bound villains, but John Hamm, as Scarlett's husband, gives the best vocal performance, making his character fully rounded. And the best part about Minions is the Minions themselves. Sure, we don't understand their language, but that did not stop us from loving them. Voiced by the film's co-director, Pierre Coffin, their gibberish speech becomes music to our ears. The Despicable Me franchise, though, cannot compete with the best of Pixar animation, but this one is fun, silly, colorful, with enough heart and laughs that both kids, maybe a little older, and adults will enjoy. The magic of Despicable Me has come round again.
What do you think, $250
million? Well, the last one made almost $500
million. Well, how about in the first weekend, though? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, the first weekend? I think that's a little high.
Oh, is it?
You know what? Let me tell you, though. Universal Pictures is on a roll, huh?
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey. Actually, this morning in the trades, they actually reached $3 billion worldwide.
Good for them.
The first among the studios. They had, you know, they had 50 Shades of Grey, Furious 7, Jurassic World, you know, and now this Despicable Me.
Yeah, it all goes in cycles. Next year it'll be somebody else, and the
right.
year after that somebody else. And now, if you want a scary movie this weekend, how scary is Gallows?
Well, another week, another found footage movie.
Oh.
This one is from the Grand Pooba of found footage films, Blumhouse Productions, the studio that gave us the Paranormal Activity movies and the surprisingly good Unfriended. Blumhouse's style is make a cheap movie, make a lot of money, and The Gallows belongs to the same cheap, quickie category, which is a shame because if given a makeover, The Gallows can actually be really good. The premise goes like this. 20 years ago, a high school play called What Else? The Gallows was plagued by the accidental death of one of its performers. Now they're attempting to restage the play, but something, someone doesn't want them to. Just leave it to The Gallows.
Oh.
Yeah, we're all bombarded with found footage films, and honestly, the novelty is gone. Remove the gimmick, stick to the storyline, and buy a better steady camera. The future of found footage films is as shaky as their camera work. Let me tell you.
Okay, fine. Now, if I say Ryan Reynolds, Matthew Good, Ben Kingsley, it's Sir Ben Kingsley, if I'm not mistaken, Michelle Dockery, you're thinking, okay, that's got to be a pretty highfalutin good movie right there. And there's one called Selfless, and those aforementioned actors are all starring in this movie. Is that correct?
That's right. Selfless, or How the Rich Buys Immortality.
Ooh.
This sci-fi thriller stars Ben Kingsley as a super-duper rich guy dying from cancer, but he's got money. So he undergoes a radical medical procedure to transfer his mind into the body of, what the heck, Ryan Reynolds, of course.
Sure, why not?
We want his body.
Well,
yes, we do.
Right?
All right, you two go have fun.
Thanks. The first part of the film has an intriguing premise, largely derived or heavily borrowed from a 1966 movie by John Frankenheimer starring Rock Hudson called Seconds. Oh. That one is a much better film, full of dark, twisted turns. Selfless, on the other hand, just ends up being a dull action movie that really doesn't have much to say. This is from director Tarsem Singh, the visual guy who gave us The Cell and Immortals, among others. Hmm. Like those movies, Selfless is beautifully shot, but ultimately empty.
Yeah. Hey. Did that Amy Winehouse movie ever come out?
Oh, yes. It was limited last week. Now it's getting out, and it's out in L.A. and New York, and I encourage you guys to watch it.
What is it called?
Amy.
Oh, that's easy.
That's easy. Not yeah. Winehouse.
No.
Amy. Okay, I thought Going Clear, the documentary about Scientology, would be my fave documentary of the year.
Yeah.
Until Amy sinks its way to my heart.
Oh.
It's, of course, you know, the life story documentary of the fantastic Amy Winehouse, and this is from director Asif Kapadia. If you guys had seen the racing documentary called Senna, that is from the same guy. And like that great documentary, this one is intelligent and provides a clear look on humanity. And really, he's not pointing fingers, but there are many villains in this film, but are they really bad? Like, yeah. There's Amy's ex-husband and heavy drug use. There's the overbearing father, the helpless mother, and Amy herself, who just couldn't say no.
Yeah.
Much like the structure of A Star is Born, the first half of Amy shows the rise of one of music's greatest voices. But in the second half, her inevitable downfall and death. Amy is thought-provoking, heartbreaking, but also celebrates music at its core. It's been given the Critics' Choice stamp of approval, and it's truly, truly deserving. I enjoyed this movie.
How about that? And you deserve the best in life, and not seconds. Firsts, MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go visit his website, see his interviews, and we'll talk to you again next week, Manny.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Now, you've seen them running wild, breaking stuff, screaming, fighting, bumping into you, devoid of any sense of right and wrong. I'm talking about children.
Yeah, I knew it.
Congratulations, helicopter parents. Your skills are severely lacking, and it's about time you started ignoring your child's needs and focusing on yours. So, I ask the question, do selfish parents raise better kids? You'll get an answer to that question from Dr. Shaylin Pham, next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. I'm convinced the world is doomed. No, really. Just based on how out of control everybody's kids are and how clueless most, yes, I said most parents are. The kids are in control of their own lives from the day they come out of the womb. Parents hover around their children. Here's what they care about, parents, that is. Junior doesn't get hurt, Junior doesn't get upset. And if you're not going to teach your child right and wrong, boundaries, respect, politeness, grace, consideration, all the things that make a well-rounded adult, then maybe you weren't cut out for this parenting thing. So how about taking a 180? Dial back the hyper-focus on Junior and start caring about yourself. Will your kids be better off for it? Maybe. Well, let's bring in our next guest who probably wants to scold me, Dr. Shaylin Pham. She's a licensed psychologist, coach, and speaker known as the Potentiality Expert. She's the author of the book, The Joy of Me. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And she's the principal and founder of Psychological Services and Holistic Health, Inc. Dr. Pham, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me. And I promise I won't scold you.
Oh, good. Good. Because I'm done being scolded, at least for this hour. So, sorry about venting. What about it? Junior's needs first or parents' needs first? What makes more sense?
Parents first.
Why and what does that do?
And I get it, you know, because it's ingrained in our culture and we've been taught that, you know, once you have your kid needs to be a priority. But the parents need to be first because they need to set an example that it's okay to take care of yourself and not to put everybody else's needs before you.
Right. So many kids these days, they're incapable of jumping out on their own and doing anything without somebody holding their hand or doing it for them. Isn't that right?
Precisely. It's because, you know, parents that can't, they don't want to, or for whatever reason, there needs to be needed that they don't want to let their kids grow up and be independent.
Now, let's be clear. You're not talking about neglecting your child, are you?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, being a good parent and neglecting parents. So I'm talking about learning how to nurture your child's mind and help to cultivate them to be independent, free thinker who can take care of themselves.
Right, so let's say, you know, as a dad, you'd on a Thursday night rather go to the racetrack and bet on the ponies than hang out and help your son with homework. Does that teach your son that he should do whatever he can to get through the homework and learn himself? See, you're going to scold me, aren't you?
scold him.
Let me ask it another way. So when the parents focus more, you know, not out of proportion, but focus more on their needs. Perhaps they belong to clubs and they want to go out to the clubs and they get the babysitter for the kids, or they leave the kids with the sister-in-law, or if the kids are old enough, they leave them at home because they're responsible at this point enough to handle things. They're not going to get into any trouble. So what ultimately happens to the child who realizes that every little thing isn't going to be done for him or her?
They learn to take care of themselves. But, you know, going back to your other question, it's funny, I laugh. But, you know, you don't want to teach your kid that, you know, go into gambling is a good thing and to put that before their needs.
Okay.
So there is definitely a balance in terms of helping your children. And here's the difference between helps to help, or is it help to hurt? Because when you're helping them to, for them to help themselves, then you're nurturing and promoting growth and independence for them. But if you're helping to do it for them and you end up crippling them, then that is something that you need to stay away from.
So self-confidence is bred under this scenario, is it not?
Yes.
Now, what's going to happen to all those kids with helicopter parents? Are they eventually going to burn out on life?
At some point, I have to learn to take care of whether, you know, it's never too late. So at some point, whether they end up going to therapy, so you have a therapist like me telling them to recorrect their lives.
Mm-hmm. But helicopter parents must be a boon for your business, right?
Well, I need to stay in business somehow, right?
So espousing this theory behind parenting is probably counterintuitive for you. So now if we let the kids learn a little about survival, a little about how to do things themselves and not rely on mom and dad for everything, maybe they will become better parents as well?
Absolutely. Because they end up not putting their hopes and their dreams on their kids. And also they're learning not to, you know, baby their kids or not too overbearing.
Yeah.
So they learn the balance.
Now here's the other thing that I suspect could happen. Because after all, kids, at least healthy kids, want to please their parents. They want to impress their parents, make their parents proud on some level. They may not realize it, but they want to. If the parents don't seem as engaged as perhaps the child thinks they should be, and it depends. I guess birth order comes into all of this, you know, first child versus middle child and that sort of thing. You have to have different levels of engagement. There's that psychology going on. But let's say the child doesn't feel like there's enough engagement. Is this the kind of kid that ends up doing all sorts of things, anywhere from productive things to acting out unnecessarily just to get the attention of the parents?
They certainly do that. And a lot of time, there's a positive and negative side on this. And you're talking about how if they want to please and make their parents proud, oftentimes what you end up seeing is they are typically the overachiever. But then that left them feeling very empty because it doesn't matter how much they end up doing, it's still not enough if the parents are very aloof and non-engaging to their success. Or they, like you said, you know, acting out just to catch their attention. So it's really important for the parents to instill early on of have the child to learn to be proud of themselves and to recognize that their ability is what's important, not to, hear the word from the parent, I am proud of you, or that I will be disappointed if you don't do this or do that.
Yeah, and if you ever have a hankering as a child, if you ever have a hankering for nurturing, there's always the nanny.
That's true.
When in doubt.
Right.
Yes.
The book is called The Joy of Me, and the author is Dr. Shaylin Pham. A pleasure speaking with you once again, Doctor, and I'm sure we'll do it once more in the future. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
I think I'd be a very good parent. You want to know why?
Why?
I'm very selfish.
Are you?
I am.
So?
I'm
what?
A big believer in the whole airplane oxygen mask thing. You first. You can't help anybody else if you're dead.
How about that?
Yeah. That's my theory.
That's correct, right?
Do I get a master's now?
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or a PhD?
So when Junior comes up and says, Mom, look what I did. And you say, oh, that's great. Now I've got to go off to the mixer at the yacht club.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
There's a great nanny on board.
How about that? All right, so...
as long as I say that's great, right?
Yeah. People don't watch as much TV as they used to.
That surprises me.
Or
I don't believe you.
Maybe they're watching more TV in smaller doses. Is that possible?
Or they're doing the binge watching where it's all at once and then they don't watch for like a week.
I remember when a popular TV show, the number one TV show of the week, would typically have somewhere between 30 and 50 million viewers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, there are 350 million people in the country. So so that's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah.
If you get 50 million, right?
Yep.
That's a big chunk. But I have the last week's top 10 shows, and it's frankly shocking to me. Number 10 is 60 Minutes, and that's on CBS. 6.7 million viewers.
Great show.
Yeah. The Bachelorette.
I don't get it.
Well, the girl's a slut, and there's all kinds of there's all kinds of drama, and people love drama, and they
and the
love
guys
sluts.
Are tools. Okay.
Yeah, tools and sluts.
That sounds like a show.
Yeah, and she's from Canada, so you know there's no
there's
loss,
no,
there's
right,
no
right.
hit to America.
Yeah, exactly.
She's from Canada.
We're still good.
6.7 million viewers, or a little more than 60 minutes. American Ninja Warrior is number 8. There's another show that I know you're locked into. 6.8 million. The Big Bang Theory. On its last legs,
yeah.
I suspect. It's what, about its 8th or 9th season, maybe more. 6.9 million. I mean, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Celebrity Family Feud.
Really?
Is number 6 with 7.1 million.
Wow.
And that's a syndicated program. NCIS is number 5. And I remember when this was one of the top shows, right?
Yeah.
It still is top if it's number 5, but 7.7 million people.
It's cable. Cable and Hulu and Netflix.
It's been what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with a D, not distilled. Diluted. That's the word.
Diluted. Yes.
The series premiere of Zoo.
Really?
This is where the animals get loose and they eat people.
They start attacking.
8.2 million.
Okay.
The Women's World Cup post-game show is number 3.
Post-game show?
Yeah.
Did they watch the game?
10.2 million viewers.
Right.
America's Got Talent is number 2 with 10.7 million.
Hmm.
I mean, this is not great.
I think this is summer. These are summer numbers.
You know, you want to know what the number 1 TV show last week
I'm
was?
I'm hoping it was the World Cup final.
It was the Women's World Cup final.
Good.
22.3 million people watched that.
Yeah. Yay. I'm so glad to hear that a women's sport final got that kind of attention and numbers.
Yes, and there was no partial nudity, and people still watched it.
They kept their shirts on,
yes.
Literally. Yeah, good job, girls.
and there was even a fashion statement. One girl had a hat trick.
A hat trick?
One woman had a hat trick. Yeah, she scored 3 goals. That's a hat trick.
Oh.
And you're supposed to throw your hats out. Do they do that in soccer? Do they throw hats out on the field? Or is that a yellow card? I don't get the rules in soccer.
I love soccer. Soccer's fun.
The cool thing about
soccer,
yes.
And this is why I think soccer translates into women's and men's sports equally as far as appreciation and enjoyment of it, because soccer is all about strategy and endurance and accuracy and skill. You don't necessarily need the strength that you might in football to make it exciting. You know what I mean?
You know what soccer is really all about?
What's
and
it
I
all
think
about?
This is why it speaks to women. It's all about pretending to be hurt.
The guys are so much worse than the women. The women are so much classier than those tools on the men's team.
And then getting the extra time at the end, which is totally arbitrary to the referee.
The men
who
are
says,
pathetic.
Okay, the game's over.
The men are shameful.
Yes.
Really. And terrible actors. Like, at least be good at it.
Yes. I really despise that part of soccer.
The women are good, though.
If they remove that, it would be almost as good as hockey.
The women were tough. Tough man. I love them. Go girls.
Gotta love a tough woman. Where are we in the show? Oh, that's it for this hour. There's so much more coming in the next hour of the program, and I'll tell you what it is in a moment. Oh, yeah. We have a visit from our tech dude. People are getting burned by Apple Watches. The gay marriage slippery slope that one of our guests so hopes will happen. And why you should never invite an NFL defensive player to your 4th of July party. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, you'll hear from the National Polygamy Advocate. That's what he calls himself. He loves the Supreme Court's gay marriage ruling. You'll find out why. Plus, Apple Watches are hot. No, really, they're hot. They're burning people's arms. Our tech guy joins us live. Brooke Peterson, our producer, is here today. And always lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Going to get things started here. I'm Phil Hewlett, by the way. Thanks for tuning in. So let's see. Where are we right now? We are, oh gosh. You're going to make me feel old, aren't you?
No. But there's good news, actually.
Good news in what? In the aging front?
Well, I think traditionally people have always just assumed that women lived longer just because they're women and that there's some biological reason that women just live longer and men die earlier.
Yeah.
Well, the truth is, apparently, there's a study saying that that's not necessarily the case. There really is lifestyle choices that mainly contribute to those numbers.
Mm.
And so you have the power, Phil. Have the power to control your destiny.
Well, does it have something to do with men are it's just a way of life. I'm sorry, ladies, but that men tend to be more in harm's way. They take more of a beating throughout the course of their life.
Well, it doesn't talk about that necessarily so much as the fact that traditionally more men smoke versus women.
Oh, it's that sort of thing.
It's that sort of thing.
Now, I didn't mean to downplay the kind of work that that women do, but I'm just saying that more men are doing just heavy physical labor.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue with that for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure there are some baddie women out there, but but anyway, so yeah, most of it has to do with the fact that men are generally heavier smokers than women, and men also tend to eat more animal fat.
Yeah, it's so tasty.
It's so tasty. And that leads to all those clogged arteries. And so that is a huge influence in the lifespans. And so those are things that are very controllable. So it's not about being male or female. It's
no.
just the choices.
So if you figure out, you know, if you have a little, you know, toasty, sizzling animal fat and you chase it with some beer, you can clear those arteries quicker.
Yeah.
I think that's medical science, isn't it? Yeah, I'm getting a thumbs up from the crew.
Yeah, well, that does it.
Right.
Well, no, it's actually kind of exciting because I thought, being of a certain age that I am, that I should, you know, definitely date younger. I need to date younger because I don't want to, you know, be 70 and then suddenly widowed. I want to have my guys, you know, last the long term.
How old a guy are you looking for?
Well, now it, you know, sort of opens up the window again because it's not about his age anymore like I thought it was.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, as long as he's a healthy guy, he doesn't smoke or eat a bunch of
so
animal
So what,
fat,
you might
right?
split the difference? You might take a guy who's, say, 10, 15 years older or 10, 15 years younger.
Yeah.
So if he were 10, 15 years younger, what?
Gosh,
he'd be
in
the seventh grader?
I could do that.
He'd be a seventh grader, right?
Yeah, sure. He'd be in high school. No.
Okay, fine. But yeah.
I've never dated younger, though.
No?
I don't know that I have the...
You're a little intellectual for a young, you know, meathead.
You're calling me a dork? I'm a dork.
A
proud dork.
Yeah. Not a geek, a dork.
I'm a geek and a dork.
Are you?
More of a dork, a gork. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like something from, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien or something.
Exactly. Well, see, and only a dork would bring that up.
Holla!
Yeah, gosh, look at you. All right, so what's the upshot here? I don't feel older hearing this conversation. I feel
see?
Like, you know,
empowered.
Fine.
I hope.
Yes.
Just stop eating all that animal feet fat.
Animal feet?
Meat, fat, you know, feet.
Have you had feet?
I have not. Have you?
Oh, prepared properly. They're tasty.
Well, that's what I've been told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, it tastes just like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there was a big 4th of July celebration here in America. It's our Independence Day celebration, and all kinds of fireworks went off. On the last program, we had a guy set off a firework on his person, and it exploded and killed him.
Okay.
And just ill-advised, we had all sorts of ways that people were hurting themselves with fireworks. And fireworks are generally safe if you're not a moron.
That's the one caveat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the percentage of morons in society tends to be mirrored, but perhaps it's elevated slightly when you get into the National Football League.
Perhaps, as was demonstrated this past weekend when two players, have now lost fingers because of them playing with fireworks.
Yep, that's what you call a fumble.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, but one lost one finger. I should give you some names, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, so the New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah.
Had to have his index finger on his right hand.
He's not
amputated.
Just a JP. He's a JPP.
JPP.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he had his right hand, his index finger?
Index finger on his right hand, which to me, just in normal life, that's a bad finger to have.
All right.
To
yeah.
Lose.
And what's the other guy? What did he lose?
The other guy is a Buccaneers cornerback, CJ Wilson, lost two fingers.
Yeah. On the same hand?
It doesn't say. I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Now think about it. You would immediately believe that it's an offensive player that has more of a dependence on his fingers. But I'm going to say, no, that's not the case. Because in football, the offensive players are supposed to hit and defend on the offensive side more with their arms and their helmet and their shoulders and their legs
weight,
and all that
yeah.
sort of thing. And they're not really supposed to use their hands all that much, except when they're engaging with the ball.
Okay.
Now, the defensive players are using their hands constantly. They're grabbing guys by the face mask and throwing them to the ground. They're tackling with their hands. They're trying to bat a ball out of the air, intercept a ball, pick up a fumble. They're doing all these sorts of things. I submit to you that with the exception of the quarterback, running backs, and receivers, the defensive players, to a man, are using their fingers more than the offensive players. Does that make sense?
Does, but I'm not sure if it necessarily affects their job quite so much.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully. Apparently, Jason is expected to return this coming up season. They have not said whether CJ is going to
And would it be fair to the other players if he had a prosthetic, like a bionic finger attached to his hand? Would that be fair?
Good question.
Right? Remember the whole thing with Pretorius now that he's in trouble for killing his girlfriend, but Pretorius, right?
Isn't Petraeus. He was acquitted, though, I think.
Right, but the point is that there was a big flap about him running in the Olympics because they thought that with those prosthetic legs, with those blades, as they were called, that he had an unfair advantage. Now, if a player with missing fingers got prosthetic fingers that perhaps performed better than mere human fingers, would the league... Would the players' union, would the other teams, would the coaches have an issue with that?
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe they have to get approval. There might be an epidemic of missing fingers if that's the case, and they start upping them on their game.
Yeah. All right. Now, as you know, unless you were just living under a rock, because there are these rocks where people live under. Mm-hmm. They do crawl under there from time to time, and they miss out on all the big news. The Supreme Court gave the okay to gay marriage last week.
Holla!
Yeah. And so the question is polygamy or some form of that, polygyny, polyandry, there are three or four of them, is that next? You'll hear from a guy who, so hopes so, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends at .com, and you're at our website where you could listen to the show live. You can figure out all the different ways where you can listen on demand after the fact, and also look at our show fun page. there's a rabbit ripping the guts out of a snake.
Yeah!
On the show fun page today, just for the heck of it. Is polygamy the new gay marriage? The Supreme Court decision on gay marriage opens the door to legalizing multiple partner marriages. Well, that's the opinion of national polygamy advocate Mark Henkel, and he joins us live right now. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure that you're here. Now, it seems to me there's a big difference, legally speaking, before the Supreme Court decision. You just couldn't get married to your same-sex partner before the Supreme Court came down on this. But correct me if I'm wrong. The feds will come after you and put you in prison if you have more than one wife. Isn't that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so there's the big legal difference between the two. Now, you say limiting marriage to a two-person union is just as arbitrary a bias as what we had before when marriage was limited to opposite-sex couples, right?
If gender limitation is an arbitrary determinant, then two-person union is an arbitrary determinant.
Okay, so laws in this country... Now, follow me here, and I'm sure you've heard all the arguments. Laws in this country, in order to pass, they have to pass something called the rational basis test in order to become law. In other words, the laws must be rationally related to a legitimate government interest. And one of the reasons the gay marriage issue was legalized is because opponents failed to show that it was harmful to anyone. Now, there are arguments, and again, I'm sure you've heard these, that make the case that polygamy is harmful to society. Isn't it...
They're specious, though.
Okay, well, let's go through a couple of them, and you break them down for me. And this is just what, you know, I'm just throwing them out there so we can hear your point of view. Isn't it possible to argue that polygamy is harmful to society in ways that gay marriage is not? For instance, polygamy favors rich, high-status men and could create a pool of low-status, unmarried men. You know, is that bad for society?
That's actually ridiculous. That is nothing more than a fantasy that socialists want to invent as an idea of what would happen in laissez-faire marital economics.
Okay.
The reality of free marriage economics would be this. If you have 10 men and 10 women, and 9 of those men are jerks, the use of big government to create a limitation of only one man, one woman, has oppressed and taken the choice away from 9 of those women of the good man. But what would happen if you have a free market economics? Suddenly, the 9 jerks would realize they better hurry up and become better men for the women to choose, and then the women do get better men, and it all equilibrates anyway.
All right, so how about when the competition for the brides goes up? I mean, that's what more or less you're talking about in the market there.
Not at all. What we're talking about is about we have earned that now in the era of dumbed-down males, mm-hmm. in which we have marriage celibate males and abandoned single moms. And we're going to criminalize men who want to marry women? That's ridiculous.
Okay, so...
When you have socialism, you dumb down mm-hmm. the incentive to be better. Yeah. So men don't have the incentive to be better. That's why we see this post-adolescence living into their 30s, still playing video games and living at home of guys. And so what we're talking about is incentivizing men to be better men for the women to choose, and it equilibrates anyway.
Well, let's talk about the incentive for a second. So... If competition for brides goes up among the men that you say are worthy, they're not the dumbed down type, then men will eventually, because the number of women available will go down if men are having more than one wife, men will try to secure brides at a younger age. At least this is the theory. This is the argument. You've heard it. So
again, not in a Western society where women are smart and educated. All studies that you hear about have nothing to do with normal, mainstream, intelligent, educated, smart women making a choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. This is really a woman's choice movement. This is not about what the man gets, but about women.
Doesn't supply and demand work into this at some point?
Not at all, because the issue is not a balance of how many men and women there are. The issue is how many men who want to marry women to the ratio of women that want to marry men. And the reality is we are in an era with marriage-phobic males, and there isn't that balance. So the truth is, incentivize guys to realize that they're going to go without if they don't smart enough, then they will. Then they'll become better men. The women will have better men to choose, and it all equilibrates anyway.
Hmm. I'm sold.
Are you sold?
Sure.
You're ready?
Good. Yeah. Good arguments there.
Yeah. Now, I want to follow the thinking here. Competition would drive men to, it seems to me, to use whatever connections, advantages, or alliances that they have in order to obtain more wives, including maybe striking a financial or a reciprocal bargain with the fathers of the daughters. And once girls and young women become wives, then older husbands and brothers, for that matter, will strive to protect their young wives from other males to guarantee paternity of any offspring.
You're commodifying women, which is really an insult to women. The truth is we're talking about women making a choice. Women are not going to sit back and be this piece of property being bought and sold and traded off like you just described. We're talking about a modern Western society where women are smart. Let's think about this in a real-world, real American concept. You take two women and a guy, and the minute that guy thinks he's going to be a chest-pounding idiot, those women will gang up on him. Those women will put him in his place faster than he can blame.
Yes!
So let's understand this. A guy is not going to be this great chest-pounding kind of a guy. We're talking about a man who's going to care about women. As Dr. Joyce Brothers said in 1994, she said she would rather be the third wife of a good man than the only wife of a jerk.
Ah, all right. So now, we talk about the women. How about the children? There is the argument, I'm sure you've heard this as well, that polygamy diminishes male parental investment. They invest all their resources finding more wives and not in their children. Another species argument?
Yes, it is. That's another one that came out of the whole moral animal concept that tries to invent this idea. Again, we're talking about women making a choice of a good man. This isn't about a man going out collecting women, because women aren't going to put up with that. Let's come back to reality, come out of the fantasy world, and realize women are not going to put up with guys commodifying them and treating them like something to be collected. The truth is, you might have, for example, a stay-at-home mom, a woman who wants to be a stay-at-home mom. That's her choice. She wants that. You might have another woman who wants to have a high career, and she may need to travel. Instead of other things, the two of them could come together, make a choice with a good man that they agree, and come to understand that the woman who's off traveling, she gets to have her choice. The woman who's a stay-at-home mom gets to have her choice. And the woman who's traveling knows her children are being loved and cared for by a woman who loves them instead of shipping them off to some low-paid stranger at daycare.
What's next for you and polygamy in the courts? Is there anything on the horizon?
Well, there is the Brown v. Newman case, which will be going to the 10th District for an appeal this year. So the case will be up in the Supreme Court by 2017, 2 years. And essentially, what we really are looking for is we're looking for what we call the polygamy rights win-win solution, which is to abolish all marriage control for unrelated consenting adults. Then the left get their equality for all. The right get limited government. Nobody gets to redefine marriage. Nobody gets to impose their definition on anyone. And the Brown v. Newman case is about decriminalization, not looking for legalization.
What about age limits?
Slippery slope. What's that?
What about age limits?
Well, that's a separate issue altogether. But understand, let's talk about initials. We use OMOW, OMOW, to represent one man, one woman. SSM, for same-sex marriage. And UCAP, UCAP, unrelated consenting adult polygamy. We are UCAP. So we're talking about unrelated consenting adults. That eliminates issues of insects, issues of children, issues of animals, issues of inanimate objects. Unrelated consenting adults.
Mm. Food for thought here, Mark Henkel. Thanks. Oh, by the way, how many wives do you have?
That's not a question that I'm still legally able to answer, being from nationalpolygamyadvocate.com.
All right, nationalpolygamyadvocate.com. Mark Henkel, thanks again for talking. There you go.
Hey.
You're sold, huh?
He had some kind of interesting arguments. I was like, huh.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting how the answer to the arguments against is exactly the opposite of what the arguments against say is the outcome. So, in other words, it's if it's bad for women and denigrates women and all of this, and he says no, it's absolutely the opposite. It empowers women,
right?
And so it's interesting.
It is interesting.
I can't see the judges in this case going anywhere with it, probably passing it back down to the lower court so they can wait another 5 years, and maybe those judges will be retired by the time it comes back to the higher court, and they won't have to deal with it.
But it's an interesting idea, though, that this actually could be something that is taken seriously in the next 10 years or so. Who knows how long? But, I mean, who would have thought that we would have had an African-American president in 2008? Mm-hmm. Or or to have gay marriage legalized federally.
Well,
the
people that argue against gay marriage, they say there is this so-called slippery slope that, okay, fine, then next is polygamy, then next is the guys that like the children. And,
God! And, no way!
And then there's the people that like the dogs and cats and the farm animals. And the people.
I love that you mentioned inanimate objects. I'm going to marry my piano or something.
Yeah, and there are those. If you watch the TLC channel, you see the ladies who are in love with bridges, and the guys who have sex with their cars, and right. So
I don't watch those shows, Phil. Sorry.
So does that fall under the category of UCAP? Although the car can't be a consenting adult,
right,
can
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So right. He broke it down pretty clearly as far as that goes.
Yeah. All right.
But I love that he addresses the fact that it makes men want to be better men, which is kind of interesting because, yeah. There seems to be kind of a shortage, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
There's a shortage. All right. Fine. Got to go to this. Does the guy, if you're a polygamist, do you wear a wedding ring on every one of your fingers?
Maybe just like one really big one, like little notches.
But what if
in
you
your
lost
wedding
it?
Ring? Well, hopefully there's always hope, Phil.
There is.
There is.
All right, that's later from the program. And also, coming up next on the program, do you have an Apple Watch yet?
Heck no.
Are you spraying the lanacane on your arm now because the skin has been peeled off from the burning sensation that you feel from that wonderful piece of technology? Yeah, our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, has the burning hot Apple Watch news and more coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Fried chicken was introduced to America by immigrants from which country? Any guesses?
Can I guess?
Yeah, guess.
I'm going to guess Jamaica.
It's a reasonable guess. They have jerk chicken over there. But is that fried?
No.
Or is it jerked? I don't know how they make that stuff. Now I don't want to know. So, fried chicken was introduced to America by immigrants from Scotland. Does
really?
That make any sense?
Not at all.
No.
No more than Jamaica.
Yeah. See?
I like Jamaica better.
Why aren't we eating haggis every day? Is that a Scottish thing or an Irish thing?
Thank goodness we got the fried chicken from them instead.
Yeah. They settled in the south, by the way, the Scots. That's where they are.
Scotland, huh?
Yeah.
So when you go to Scotland, have you been to Scotland?
I have not. My daughter, Olivia, has been to Scotland and Ireland. She's been to so many castles, she doesn't remember which one she's visited.
Wow. That's a terrible problem.
Yeah, it is.
Did she mention all the great fried chicken she had when she was there?
She did not. And in fact, I recall her saying that she wasn't enjoying the food all that much while she was there. Probably missed some of the fast food that we have out here. Mm-hmm. It's time to talk tech. And joining us live now is the head of mobile at Apogee. He's our tech dude, and he knows how to make an app or two as well. It's Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy.
Guys, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Even better now that you're here.
Speaking of fried chicken and fast food, did you see that god-awful creation that Pizza Hut just came out with? KFC just came out with. It's a pizza on top of a fried chicken breast.
Huh? Really? What, just kind of wilted on top of it?
Gross.
Yeah, well, you got to get something. For me, the white meat is a little dry and it gets kind of stuck in my craw when I'm trying to swallow it, so... Why not wash it down with some hot, cheesy pizza?
Or a cold beer.
I'm going with the beer.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I can't even picture what you're talking about, though. I don't even know what that would be.
It's like a flat fried chicken breast with mozzarella and tomato sauce slapped on top of it.
Like a Parmesan.
I guess, kind of, yeah.
Well, see, now you're making sense. And
justifying it.
Right. All right, Jeremy. That has nothing to do with tech, does it?
It doesn't. No, right. I saw it online.
Yeah. And some people may have seen it on their fancy doodad, their Apple Watch. We know they've sold a bunch of these, and perhaps, now maybe you can confirm this, there are health concerns now that everybody has these strapped on.
Well, some users are complaining, and they're saying that their Apple Watches are getting so hot that they're actually causing skin rashes and burning their skin. couple of these people actually posted pictures to Twitter and other websites showing rashes and burn marks where the Apple Watch was sitting on their watch. So if you've got one of these things, maybe you want to keep an eye on it.
Well, see, Apple that kind of makes sense, doesn't it, Jeremy? I mean, when you're using your phone, you've probably noticed this. Some apps, when they're operating, will heat that phone up in a hurry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a chemical reaction going on inside the battery as it's, releasing energy. So it's not entirely surprising. As you know, these devices can get warm, certainly while they're charging. And of course, in warmer temperatures, they can obviously heat up. Apple has posted some information to their website suggesting what these might be as a result of. They say that this could be due to allergies, environmental factors, extended exposure to irritants like soap or sweat or other causes. And then added in, if you experience redness, swelling, itchiness, or other irritation, consult your physician before you put your Apple Watch back on.
Wow. How about that? Yeah, well, you know, maybe a little bit of heat on some sunblock on your skin. Who knows what that might do? Because, there's all kinds of crap in sunblock.
Could be. Well, I wear a mechanical watch, and I've never had a blister or a burn or any other irritation from my watches. So.
No. And some people have reactions to certain metals.
They do, and they actually did say that there's some nickel content in the Apple Watch, the space gray sport model, as well as the stainless steel models, although they do say it is below the threshold of the European standards for how much nickel can be in a particular device.
Right, yeah.
If you have an irritation to nickel, that also could be causing it.
Okay. Now, when new software and new operating systems and all that sort of stuff come out, before they come out, they put out a beta version, and they're looking for people to kind of test it. Are you the kind of guy that downloads that stuff and then all your computers fry?
I am, and I've been running the beta software for years. As Apple releases it, I install it as soon as I can. And this particular round, the first version was pretty awful in terms of the battery usage. It just killed the battery very quickly. But they've actually released three betas to iOS 9 now, the next version of iOS, which is expected to be released in September. And now you can actually get access to it if you go to beta.apple.com. You can actually sign up and get pre-release access. Anybody, you don't have to be a developer, you can sign up and get access to it. There are a few notable features that I've been playing around with that I've actually been quite happy with. I think the biggest one is this low battery mode, and that is if your battery gets low, say less than 20% overall charge, you can actually turn on low battery mode, and what it does is it starts flipping levers and switches behind the scenes to extend the battery life as you typically would get into that range and your battery's going to die pretty soon. But I've seen that if you turn that on, it actually extends the life pretty significantly and allows you to continue using the phone without worry that it's going to immediately die on you.
So it turns off all those processes that don't necessarily need to be running in the background.
Right, and fetching mail in the background and doing app updates and other stuff that you may not even know is actually happening. And so by turning those things off, it extends the life of the battery, but also it allows you to continue using the phone in a way that you may not even notice that those changes are taking place.
From one titan of technology to another, from Apple to Google, what is Google testing now?
Well, Google is getting into the ride-sharing game. They've actually integrated with their navigation app Waze something called Ride With, and this is a carpooling concept that allows your neighbors or coworkers that share a similar commute to join up and basically have split the cost of the ride. It calculates a pitch-in cost for riders based on the distance and how much money they think that you might want to give to the driver. The driver has the ability to accept or reject it, and then you're able to have an ongoing ride-sharing situation.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
And you'll know where the CHP is at all times.
That's right. That's right. Currently, it's a pilot program, so it's not available everywhere. They're running it in Tel Aviv, Israel. But if it's successful, which it sounds like it's a pretty cool concept, it could be rolled out to other markets.
Mm, okay. Well, people now, I'm trying to figure out Waze. I tried it a couple times, and it just seems like it's the roadmap mixed with social media at the same time. And you're not supposed to be looking at your phone all that much. And it's like, oh, look, there's somebody I know coming the opposite direction on the freeway.
Well, I've used it quite a bit, and I think it's actually pretty great. I don't use the social features of it in terms of interacting with anybody on the road, but for them to be able to have a tremendous amount of crowdsourced data in terms of how fast people are going, they're able to get a much more granular picture of the conditions on the road and where traffic really is, and able to route you around based on the real world conditions rather than, you know, those sensors that most of the traffic routing is done by to determine how fast traffic is moving. So I think that it's actually pretty cool, and I would recommend it.
But if it's being crowdsourced information, doesn't that mean the drivers are posting things as they're driving?
So yeah, there's a couple aspects to that. Yes, a driver can post
weird,
and say,
Jeremy,
"Hey,
that's dangerous."
Well, that part of it may be, but you know, it's also tracking the your coordinates as you're moving along, how fast you're going, and that stuff's happening in the background, and most people don't even realize that it's actually happening. But that's where the majority of the data is coming from.
So they're not sitting there texting to Waze where they are and what's going on.
No, some people are, although that is another component of it. You can report different things. If you're driving along and you see, you know, a police officer hiding on the side, you can post that and make other people aware of it. But the majority of the data is coming behind the scenes based on that the movement data.
Hmm. I have some friends who love it.
Yeah, well, I've tried it, and it seemed like my phone wasn't ready for it.
It's time for a new phone.
Yeah,
you still
it is.
A flip phone?
No, I'm beyond flip phone. I've held on to my Galaxy S4 a little too long because they have the 5 and now they have the 6.
Oh, wow.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it is. And there's some jagged edges to it. There's some sticky edges on it. There's all
your
sorts
family
of
members are stealing your upgrades, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They become available. They get new phones.
They do. They do.
He's a very giving father.
Yeah,
he's very
a good guy.
Yeah, happy to help anytime I can. Jeremy, always happy to speak with you, and we'll do that again next week.
Talk to you then.
All right, there
you
go.
You should be more of a selfish father.
Oh, too late.
Such a giver.
My children are grown. Yes.
Too late.
And they all pretend to love me.
Aw, they love you.
All right, up next, what could be better than a bean burrito and a taco?
Veggie burrito?
I'll tell you what. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and having a great deal of fun today. Did you know that Maine is the only state that shares a border with just one other state? Think about that for a second. The other state is New Hampshire, by the way. Every other state borders at least two other states, except Alaska and Hawaii. Silly, they don't border any states.
That's a trick question.
Yeah, it is. But no, that's the only state, Maine, that shares a border with just one. New Hampshire shares with several.
Mm-hmm.
So?
But Maine can at least say, you know, it has Canada.
Yes. I've not been to Maine. Have you been to Maine?
No. I think the farthest north I've ever been is Vermont.
I've been to Vermont,
drove
through New Hampshire. Mm. Been to the house my dad grew up in Bennington, Vermont.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You're a Vermontonian.
Almost knocked on the door, but we haired out at the last moment.
Chicken.
Yeah. I don't know. But then we drove over these little covered bridges.
Yeah, it's so picturesque. It doesn't seem real.
They're inanimate. Which I believe now have all been. No, I don't want to marry them or have sex with them. I believe they've all been washed away because about 3 years ago there was a raging storm in the Bennington area, and some of those little babbling brooks that go beneath the covered bridges turned into raging torrents and knocked some of those 200, 300-year-old bridges right out of there.
We can do that.
Yeah, rebuild them. Rebuild them. Yeah. All right, so I posed the question before we broke there. What's better than a bean burrito and a taco?
I don't know.
One delivered to your doorstep?
Heck yeah.
Now we're talking.
I'm all about delivery.
Doorbell rings, you open the door, guy's got a box of burritos and tacos?
Uh-huh.
Come on. Come on.
And now you can.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So apparently yesterday, Taco Bell just rolled out their new delivery service. Yay!
I wonder if that's going to work.
I think it probably has a pretty good shot.
Yeah?
They're partnering with a food delivery service called DoorDash. And right now, it's just in 90 cities. 200 restaurants are participating. But I have a pretty good feeling that this is going to catch on.
90 cities, is mine among them?
Yeah, well, in Los Angeles, yes.
Greater Los Angeles or just little clips of it? Because L.A. is a big area.
I'm thinking they're probably going to focus on L.A. pretty good.
This here studio is actually in Los Angeles.
Yes.
We're in a part of Los Angeles called San Pedro. Sorry, it's not pronounced San Pedro, but if you're local, you say Pedro.
Or if you're really local, I just learned recently, it's just Pedro.
Pedro.
Or sorry, just Pedro.
Yes. Right. And so, but it's Los Angeles, and we're on the Los Angeles Harbor. Do you think if I wanted to during the program, I could dial up Taco Bell on my phone?
We should try it.
And have some burritos delivered.
Oh, my gosh. We should try that.
Okay.
Just as an experiment.
It's a little late in this program.
Perhaps
we'll try that next week.
If only we'd thought about that earlier.
Yeah.
Gosh, we could be eating burritos right now.
And you know, you don't want to wait too long on those burritos because then the whatever it is that they put in those refried beans, what is it, lard? It starts to coagulate a little bit. Ooh. I'm sorry. See, you're a vegetarian. You have to ask for a vegetarian burrito.
Yeah.
So they give you the beans that don't have the lard
seven
in them.
Layer. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right? Because lard would be anti-vegetarian.
I wonder if they do it anyway. You know, wonder if they just do it anyway.
Yeah.
I doubt they have different ways of cooking these things.
Don't tell her.
I know.
We put crayons in there.
Reference to the first hour. Go back and listen again. All right, fine. Now, we were talking about marrying a whole bunch of ladies if this guy gets his way and the United States legalizes polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us are attached to one person for a good percentage of our life. If we're lucky, we stay married until death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be that my wife and I are on that kind of a track.
Yay.
At least that's my mindset. I trust that she shares it. And so we wear this wedding ring, and you hear these stories about people losing their rings all the time. How in the world does that happen, first of all? I can't even get mine off.
Oh.
See, it's stuck.
It is stuck.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's safe. You're not going to just, you know, suddenly lose it one day while you're out in the garden.
In fact, the first month that I wore it when I first got married.
Was it weird?
It was like what's happening with those people with the Apple Watches. My finger was getting burned by the gold in the ring, and I lost probably 7 or 8 layers of skin.
No way.
Until I created a callus.
Oh.
And now, is that a metaphor for marriage?
Exactly. You literally created a callus. That's great. Or a rash. Sometimes if I have, because I'm really bad about not taking my jewelry off when I shower or wash my face or whatever. So, you know, I can sort of see how that could happen with water getting underneath it and sort of a little rashy, little irritated.
Right. Okay. All right. Fine. Yeah. Now, we hear these stories about people losing their rings all the time. And once again, we don't have to wait very long. There's another one came along this week. Isn't that right?
Well, yes. In fact, this man, this is out of New Jersey. Apparently 15 years ago, shortly after he was married, he and his wife were out in the yard doing some work. And he gave his wife his ring to hold on to while he was digging ditches or flower beds or something. And so she sort of threaded it through her bracelet, a bangle, like almost like a snake bangle that sort of winds around her wrist. And apparently later on that day, he's asking for his ring back and she's like,
Uh-oh.
It's gone. And so cut to 15 years later, since then he had purchased himself a replacement ring, not quite as nice. His first one was 22 karat. This one was 14 karat. He says it never really did quite feel right. Anyway, so he's out in the garden this past weekend, and lo and behold, he finds his ring. And guess what he was planting?
What?
Lucky bamboo. He found his ring.
Imagine that.
And luckily, he's still in the same house. Otherwise, he would never have found it again. And luckily, more so, he's still with his wife. So the ring still matters.
And what is her name? Bamboo?
Her name is Savitri.
Savitri?
Mm-hmm.
Good thing he wasn't planting a Savitri.
Never give up hope. In fact, I have a couple of earrings I still hold out hope for.
Yeah. They'll turn up.
They will.
Somebody will send them to you in a letter.
They will.
From France.
I don't care where it's coming from.
According to a new study, this might seem a little strange to you. People who grew up listening to heavy metal music might be more well-adjusted than people who listen to other types of music. Researchers found that metalheads from the 1980s were significantly happier in their youth. Quote, fans felt a kinship in the metal community and had a way to experience heightened emotions with like-minded people.
Community.
It's possible the data was skewed, though, because most of the people in the study were, quote, relatively high-functioning individuals. In other words, you're not that likely to sign up for a study if you still listen to Slayer and get hammered every day.
It's all about finding your peeps.
More music news here. Loverboy's lead singer, Mike Reno, is in a new ad where he apologizes for writing the song Working for the Weekend.
Why would he do that?
It's just all a joke. That's what it is. Now, here's a question for you. Would you rather get a $20,000 raise or 4 weeks of extra vacation?
This takes some thought.
66% of people pick the raise. 32% wanted the extra time off.
What would you do?
Well, if you think about it, if you're a family of four or five, every week you're on vacation is clearly going to cost more than $5,000. And so 4 weeks of vacation is more than $20,000. If you go somewhere, if you go somewhere, you're going to spend $5,000 a week easily with four or five people. But if you're a single person, take the money. Single or just a married couple, take the money.
Time off is great, though.
Speaking of vacation, top vacation fantasies from 10 to 1, real fast. Getting upgraded. Being rescued by a lifeguard.
Oh, yeah.
Having sex on the beach. That'll get you arrested.
I don't know.
A couple got arrested back in 4 or 5 months ago. They just got thrown in the slammer for that, where they will also be having sex. a romantic candlelit dinner. A vacation romance with a stranger. Not getting into any arguments with family members. Joining the Mile High Club. Horseback riding at sunset. Oh, staying at a resort with celebrities. There's no way I want that. And going skinny dipping with your partner. Those are the top vacation fantasies.
Huh. Many of them seem very attainable.
Sure. Skinny dipping with somebody.
It's easy. It's easy.
Yeah. Is it?
Sure.
Just take your clothes off and go in the water.
There you go.
That's
done.
All it takes.
Check.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at FAFShow, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. That music means the show is almost over, so let me thank our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, who also happens to be on the program today, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, and his cadre of friends who he brought along with us. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Brooke Peterson and all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.